Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our lives to this sport. We do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We you know, we attitude. We move it, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
Show is back, and we're here to discuss and mostly banter everything revolving around the sport we love, college basketball. Of course, we'll start the show with some recap from the last handful of days. We'll break down the Big 12 and the SEC Challenge, or should I say SEC Challenge, because they just whooped the Big 12 overall in that back-and-forth challenge, which I like that they do at mid-season. West Virginia was on cloud nine in the game. Kentucky stormed back, got the job done. Will that spark Kentucky from here on out? Will that further depress West Virginia? Who knows? We'll talk about it. Like I said, we'll just recap a variety of things. Obviously, that Virginia-Duke game was highly entertaining. And it kind of just begs the question, how real is Virginia? We talked about it the last couple of weeks, especially last week. Do they seem a little different? They got some shooters. They got length. We know they can defend. We'll get all up into it last night as well. Kansas got a win over Kansas State and some other interesting outcomes. Also, Purdue and Michigan had a good, really entertaining game. This goes back to last week a little bit. So we'll start with some recap. Obviously, we'll just kind of talk themes as well throughout. And then we'll preview some of these big games coming up this week, during the week, and then next week and into early Big Monday as well, early next week. Big game for my co-host tonight, North Kakalaka, North Carolina, his Tar Heels, facing, I wouldn't call a surging program in Clemson, but they're ranked. So I think overall as a program they are, maybe not necessarily this moment during this part of the season, but big game nonetheless. So we'll talk about it. Like I said, we'll talk about all the marquee matchups coming up and some of those maybe under-the-radar games that aren't getting much talk. We'll talk about some other news going on. Obviously, college basketball started. I shouldn't even say started. In the offseason, that huge Adidas scandal took place. It's still under investigation. We got another investigation. So we'll just kind of add on to some thoughts and sentiment when it comes to Michigan State. And, you know, just the changes that are coming on a wide variety of things. Anyway, we're going to get into it in just a moment. Just got to talk to you real quick about the College Ball Show. Now, it's under the Rope-A-Dope Radio Podcast umbrella. It's boxing, football, basketball. We call it the College Ball Show because we start with college football, then we go college basketball, then we go NBA playoffs, all the way to the finals. We go draft, and the last show is early July, NBA free agency show, which obviously, you know, will be a big thing. We'll also have an NBA segment that we're adding to the show deeper in the show, and plenty to talk about there with Blake Griffith on the move and some other things. Major injuries, too. The last couple of in the last week since we last spoke. But anyway, you can check it out here live on Tuesdays, generally Tuesdays, I should say, the College Ball Show at blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. You can also check it under the Ropeadope Radio podcast, like I mentioned, at Apple Podcasts, a.k.a. iTunes. Rate and review the show there. Player FM is another great outlet, Stitcher, Spreaker, all sorts of different places. And, of course, thegruelingtruth.net. Go ahead and check out thegruelingtruth.net. We are now a part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast. It's boxing, it's basketball, it's football, and even a little baseball and other sports thrown in there. They got a great sponsor over there at thegruelingtruth.net, mybookie.ag. That's mybookie.ag. Check out thegruelingtruth.net. It's also available, that sports network is also available at iHeartRadio and all the other things like Apple Podcasts and Player FM and all that good stuff. But let's get down to some nuts and bolts. Pause. Let's start breaking this stuff down, right? So obviously, as I mentioned, we had a very, I thought, a highly entertaining game. This would be all the way to last Thursday between Michigan and Purdue. Purdue got it done at home, but it was a really good game, 92-88. That's another team that looks like they can make the Final Four, but you just don't know. I wanted to kind of get a look at that BYU St. Mary's game. They looked pretty good, St. Mary's. They were at home, though, but they got the job done fairly easily. Arizona State, who was a little bit of a surprise team this year, they went down to Utah in overtime at home. And Ohio State, which has kind of been probably a breath of fresh air considering the last year or two in that program, they were unbeaten just like Purdue in the Big Ten. They went down as well. Penn State hit a three-point shot, I believe, right at the buzzer, if I'm not mistaken, 82-79. So that was interesting. Big game with Duke and Virginia. Fun back-and-forth game, low scoring, 65-63. I think it was 16 straight trips or something like that for Virginia on the road at Duke. They got the job done, 65-63. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. I mentioned that West Virginia game. West Virginia came out just stormtrooping, looking really, really good. Kentucky, though, got back in the game, and then they started kind of spurting on them, getting ahead of them, but West Virginia caught back up, and I believe they had a lead later in the game as well, but Kentucky gets the job done on the road very impressively, 83-76. And we talked about it was like over 60 weeks, 68 weeks or something that they had been, you know, continually in that top 25, the AP poll. Well, they're going to be bounced right back into it. That was a big, big win. Obviously, NC State got the job done once again on the road. Nobody's safe even at home this year. That's how widespread we are. OT 95-91, North Carolina goes down swinging. Arizona sneaks by that hot Utah team, 74-73. Alabama showed their worth, kind of showed what they were doing in October and November. Wasn't a fluke, even in December. They're a pretty good team, 80-73. I'm telling you, you look at some of these scores from that Big Ten, Tennessee, Iowa State, that we can see that Tennessee's a little bit more up this year, right? But they still handled them, 68-45. Really, in most of the matchups, the SEC put a whooping on them, really. I mean, yeah, you know, at home, KU did get the job done. Texas A&M started this season with some quality wins. They looked the part. Now they faltered a little bit. But overall, to get a couple of key wins there, we talk about the Big 12 this year in the depth, and I do believe there's depth. Do we have a team that's going to get to the Final Four? I'm not sure, but we talk about, and it's talked about by the experts out there, that this is the best conference. Well, I'll tell you what, styles make fights, matchups do count in these challenges, right? SEC, Big 12, but the SEC is being undervalued a whole lot. They really are. They really are, and we talked about it, I think, on the first show. Auburn's still hanging around. they're still, I shouldn't say hanging around. They're number one in the SEC, but they're still holding on to that spot. So that's something we wanted to kind of take a look at. Just some good games, some solid games too. Purdue and Indiana was kind of fun. I thought the Maryland-Michigan State, considering the distractions, was pretty fun last night. Like I mentioned, KU put it on Kansas State, 70-56. There was times where Kansas State would look like they were going to do something, but it really didn't lead to much. Michigan got the job done against a frisky Northwestern team at home. Like I said, we will look at some matchups that are popping off here in a little bit and throughout the week into all the way through Big Monday. I kind of went long there, wanted to get some of that recap as far as numbers and results and all that. Didn't want to bore too many people, probably did, but I'm going to switch it here to my co-host, pass it on. What's going on, Marshall? How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Actually, after the show tonight, going to take in my first ever, big Texas high school basketball game. I've been to a lot of Texas high school football. Yeah,
sure.
We're going to see the number one team in 5A play on the road at the number 13 team in the state. And the guy I coach basketball with played at the high school that we're part of the middle school for, and he went on to play college basketball. So, I don't know. He said it should be pretty fun. I think quite a few of these kids, or at least one or two of them, got some D1 scholarships. So I'm going to take in my first ever, packed gym Texas high school basketball. Obviously, it's not Texas football, but, I mean, it's not too shabby either. There's quite a few kids that around where I live in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, they got D1 commitment signed. So it should be pretty fun. I'll have to report back on the show next week about how the night goes and kind of the vibe and the cheerleaders and all the student sections and stuff. So it should be pretty
sweet.
Whoa.
High school cheerleaders. Let's not go there, buddy.
Well,
you're trying to get us canceled. You're trying to get us thrown off Blog Talk. What the hell? The Me Too movement, which I support, is going to be on your ass, not mine. I didn't say it. For the record, I know what you meant. I know what you meant. I'm just giving you a little crap.
That's a shot for when I used you as an analogy for getting turned down 9 times for a college football show. So, fair. I guess there's quite the – he went to a game a week ago where it was like 3 teams, and, the cheerleaders – can't nag and forth during the game almost make the spectacle as much as the game itself. So it should be entertaining. I can't wait to say how it goes. But from all the points you made, the funniest one or kind of craziest one to me was the Kentucky game. I had just finished my basketball tournament with my kids. We took a second place in the tournament, so it was a very great weekend, but not incredible because we would have preferred to win the championship game. But my kids fought hard, and we played a team that ran us out the gym a month ago, and we fought with them this game, so I was proud of my boys.
Nice.
But I was talking about them. Yeah, you never want to, enjoy a moral victory too much, but the kids fought hard, and we were playing a more skilled team, and we came back from some deep score deficits, and we made it look impressive, so I was very proud of them. And we're actually playing for a chance to win district this Thursday, so after my basketball weekend, I just kind of went and had some beers to relax. And there's a Kentucky fan, and I was talking a little bit before the game. He's like, "Oh, there's no chance my team wins. The season is just miserable," and blah blah blah. And he felt, it's kind of like me with Carolina, and I kind of referenced you. I'm like, I'm kind of complaining a little bit to a buddy of mine too about how Carolina is struggling this year, but he doesn't like hearing it much, And when you hold your team to high standard, For most people, Kentucky's year is just fine this year. But I was like, "So, do you guys have a chance to win?" And I was like, "Oh, West Virginia's going to murder us." So come into the second half, he's like, pacing, arms are folded, just kind of turning his head away after every shot. And all of a sudden, West Virginia loses a game. And it's like, holy cow. I'd been watching the first half, and I saw that West Virginia was up pretty easily. And then I turned my attention more so towards Golden State and Boston. And all of a sudden I started.
Great
I
game, by the way.
Up and I was like, oh, yeah, phenomenal game of NBA. Obviously, happy the Warriors won. But I peeked back up, and near the end of the game, I'm like, oh, my God, Kentucky's winning? Holy crap. And you know, I saw Kentucky was up by about three or four minutes to go. West Virginia hit a dagger three to tie it up. And, you know, we talked last week about how home court advantage is so huge in college basketball. After West Virginia tied it up with about 3 minutes to go, Kentucky came back down and busted a three and then made a nice defensive stand and made a dunk to put themselves back up five. And it was pretty much the game was wrapped up after that, barring some back and forth. But, hey, that's a nice win. Maybe that is the gelling win that Calipari normally gets with his young team to kind of put stuff all together. And maybe Kentucky will get on a roll. Or maybe, to perfectly tie into what we talked about last week, this was the cold side of West Virginia. Where I was talking about how West Virginia is hot and cold. They have their, oh my God, this team's Final Four moments to, they might make the Sweet 16. So I'm not sure if this was Kentucky getting their stuff figured out or the 50-50 yin and yang side of West Virginia. Only time will tell. But nonetheless, a win that will put them back in the rankings, a win that can maybe get their fans off their back, and maybe something they can build off of, Chris.
Yeah, and just to do it the way they did it, like you said, I think it was like 35-21 at half. They were in control and looking just phenomenal. They were looking like the club, like you said, the yin and the yang, and which one's going to show up. And usually, pretty much, once they got it going, they got it going for a game. Maybe it's even more troubling that they lost it in that game. And you know,
true.
Sometimes you try to kick a team when it's down. You want to step on their throat. But maybe they're thinking, dude, we're at home. They're struggling, dude. They have no confidence. It's a wrap. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Primetime game, though. Primetime game. And they got it done. They got it done. They definitely got it done. And it might be. You never know. We know they have talent. It's just about, you know, putting it together. So I'm kind of looking at that and just kind of, you know, earmarking it overall, and which kind of brings us into this SEC just kind of ragdolling the Big 12 in this SEC versus Big 12 challenge. Yeah, Kansas won. It's not like it was a skunk or nothing, but at the beginning of the season, or even you could say maybe coming into this, because some people still don't really believe the SEC, and for good reason, if you look at the depth or whatever in the last handful of years. Sometimes they sneak up, though, in the tourney, and all of a sudden you look at the round of 32 and you go, huh, they got four teams alive or whatever. You know, sometimes we've seen that before. But they really did well in this challenge. And so it goes back to, well, can we really call the Big 12 the best? Last week and for a while, I've been saying Kansas can't win the Big 12, and we call this the best conference. It's got to stop. Well, right now, the SEC looked really good comparatively to the Big 12. Is it just us undervaluing majorly here, the SEC, or is it just the Big 12 where you're like, it's quality, but it's not, it's depth, full of depth. But, man, is anyone going to make a Final Four out of that? That's what's tough. The SEC clearly being undervalued at this point, at this juncture in the season, Marshall.
Yeah, and I think part of it, Chris, is we have SEC teams that are being respectable again that haven't been respectable for the last 4 to 5 years. Like, Missouri is definitely going to be a bubble team, or could be, and they've had a pretty good year. Obviously, if Michael Porter Jr. would have been in, they'd probably be ranked right now. But Missouri's, again, back to being respectable, not a joke. This is the first time I can remember Auburn being a good basketball team almost since I've been a college basketball fan. I mean, maybe they've had some good runs.
Yeah.
I know Barkley went there, but, I mean, I mean, I've been watching college basketball pretty hardcore since, like, 2000, and I really never recall filling out a bracket and like, huh, how far is Auburn going? And they're
right.
Right. You know, and I can maybe look up for next year, but I don't know how many tournament appearances Auburn's made in the last 18 years. Not many. And Tennessee is
about as many times as Charles Barkley attended his classes. Not many.
And Tennessee's good again this year. Kentucky just had a big win. Florida is the most, like, boring, nonchalant team that seems to not get much coverage like they do in football. But, my God, they almost make the Elite Eight every year. And they're normally a pesky 4 or 5 seed. You're like, it's Florida. Let's go, like, 20-11. But you, like, never want them in your bracket because, God, they always just seem to be really good come March. It's like the same thing over and over again in Florida. Like, they're okay. And the next thing you know in your bracket, they're in the Elite Eight. That's Florida being Florida. And I'm with you, Chris. I kind of hope Texas A&M can get their stuff together because, man, at the start of the year, I was watching them. And I was, you know, picking on them in games, and they were on fire. They had the stud freshmen. They had a couple of guys who've been there for a while. Like, everything seemed to be gelling. And then they had two of their three best players get suspended. And since then, they've not been the same team. There's still time for that to get fixed, but, I mean, I think their conference record is either, like, 0-5 or 1-4. So
yeah, they're 2-6
they need to
right
have
now.
Maybe
they're 2-6.
Okay, so they've jumped in a little bit. It's not the end, but they definitely need to – normally, by rule of thumb, you normally need to have at least a 500 record in conference to make the big dance. Now, their non-conference schedule is pretty damn good, so that's a little bit of a bump. But normally, you don't see as a rule of thumb many teams finish their conference play under 500 that go dancing. So Texas A&M needs to get their stuff together. I'm not sure what happened with the suspensions, but that really seemed to kind of put them in a tough spot. That if memory serves, the suspension happened like either right in conference play started or a game into it, and it kind of went into a funk. And I know they lost one game to Kentucky by 1 point, so it's not too late. But, man, yeah, the SEC is definitely back on top this year with the teams I mentioned who are normally not worth mentioning in a tournament making it, and your strong four still being there. So, yeah, Chris, you're definitely right. They're a much more respectable conference than we normally have in a regular year.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't know what to think of Ole Miss at 4-4, 11-10. I'm sure I could look at their conference record and maybe they just have had it easy and it's going to get hard or whatever. But I know Arkansas can play. They may even be underachieving at 4-4. They're 15-6, though. I talked about Alabama. You could see they're a quality team. It looks like they're getting the thing going. Florida usually there, right? Kentucky, we know, usually there. Tennessee back in there at 15-5, at 5-3. It's just something to keep an eye on. You know,
And Georgia's always on the bubble, too. Always. Georgia's always on the bubble
sure.
to make the tournament.
That's a good call. That's a very good call. In South Carolina, you know, we don't know that one dude that was feisty on the court. He's not there, but, you know, they linger. They linger or get in, actually. I mean, maybe not this year, but they're okay. Switching to the ACC theme wise, Virginia sitting at 20-1, 9-0. It had been, I think, 16 trips. You know, traveling on the road to the Dukeyville. And they got the job done in a razor tight game. They started out just smothering Duke. It was like, oh my God, do they have 12 points in the first half? Like, it was ugly. Duke got in there though. They did. They have this thing about them this year where they just have mini spurts where you're like, yeah, you're not stopping it for a little bit. They're just going to go off because of the talent. They're very youthful, but they have a lot of talent and they do kind of remind me of the recent Kentucky teams where the talent's there, they just got to gel. They're young because they're a bunch of freshmen on the court besides Christian Laettner 3.0 or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
So the talent's there, no doubt about it. They're sitting at 7-3, 19-3 overall. All the losses obviously coming there in conference. Clemson doing pretty good. Florida State, kind of wishy-washy. Sometimes you look, oh, God, man, they really put up some points. And other times they get beat. They're still trying to figure their way out. Same with Miami. Same with North Carolina. But a lot of – God, you look at it, though. from Virginia Tech and up, you have 4-4 Virginia Tech. This is in conference, obviously, but they have 15 wins. Miami has 15 wins. Syracuse 4-4. Then you have the 5-4 teams: North Carolina, NC State, Florida State, I should say. Clemson 17-4, 6-3. So it is really neck and neck, but Virginia, I mean, that's a big win no matter how you slice it, man. And it's starting to feel like, and obviously, you know, we have to walk on thin ice here. You know, we got to be careful here, obviously, because we've talked about their recent, and I meant to say eggshells, not thin ice. Although you do have to tippy-toe if you're on thin ice. But Virginia, are they starting to look the part and it's real this time as far as a deep run? We talked about it last week. We mentioned it in our first show where we just kind of went around to different conferences. But Marshall, I wouldn't call them Villanova. I tried to give that example last week of Villanova. And remember, Villanova had the number one seed, then they lose. Round of 32. Get to the Sweet 16, lose. You know, they always had these high seeds, but sometimes you got to be in position for a while like that, right? And then you get the real recruits. And then look at back-to-back trips to the title. I'm not saying they have that same talent, but then again, we're not dealing with the same talent right now in college basketball this year. Is Virginia turning that corner into a team that can make the Elite Eight, can get to the Final Four, and potentially to that title game? What do you think here, man?
Well, for a year where we don't have those dominant, like, yet proven strong offensive teams, maybe this will be their year. Normally, by now, we have a team or two that is just offensively so gifted that if you play them in a tournament, it's like, oh my God, good luck to us. Now, Trae Young appears to be that player, but his team is not at that level. So maybe in a year where we don't have a Kentucky or a typical Carolina or Duke offense that is so loaded that you're kind of afraid to play them, maybe this is a year where a defensive win team could make him more of a push. Because as we mentioned last show, Virginia's got a hell of a team, and they're really good, but they always seem to get stuck up against, man, one of these games we're going to have to score 50 or 60, and can we do it? To give them credit, they actually forced Duke to play their game, you know? And they played a team that with a Duke who's was basically scoring at will on Notre Dame. I know Notre Dame was out there without their two best players, but, I mean, Duke can score normally in the mid-80s pretty easily. And you played them at their tempo, and Duke had like 20 or 22 points in the first half, which is like one of the lowest ever. And so maybe this is the year where that method can work, and you're not going to run into a crazy lottery pick offensive loaded team that can shoot you out the gym. But as you mentioned, they do have a little bit of more length and athleticism, and I think part of that just has to come with the recruiting, because, man, they've been good for quite a while, and I think Tony Bennett's eventually going to stumble upon a couple of people that, you know, they can play D for me, but God, they can drop 20 on a night too, you know? Maybe this is the year, Chris. And I do think them getting a win against Duke and now they've, you know, taking care of Carolina and, you know, they've only lost one game. Maybe this is a little bit better of a team that we need to, you know, that we can expect, but they truly won't be graded in my opinion until they do make a run. I mean, the DNA and the team, it appears to be better than normal, but, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if come second round of the tournament or third round, you know, they're in a game where it's like, you know, they lose, you know, 78-70. And it's like, oh, man, West Virginia got stuck in the track meet. You know, here they go again. But I'm with you. For potential, this team seems to be better than most they've had in recent years.
And it's kind of funny because you can't necessarily point to a handful of players compared to some of the talent they've had. They've usually been centered around one guy that does a little bit of everything. and then the rest of the team. But they have a couple bigs. They have some swingmen. They got some shooters. They're pretty good, man. They're pretty good. They got some guards. They look the part in this type of year, too. I think we have to preference by that, no doubt about it. If we switch now theme-wise to the Big Ten, Purdue now in control. And I say that, you know, loosely. You know, they're 10-0, though, 21-2. Got a big win over Michigan, like I said, last Thursday. Fun game, 92-88. Ohio State went down. I mentioned that as well. Michigan State is just staying steady at 8-2, 20-3. Obviously, right now, they have some other things going on that is going to distract the head coach, more than likely. Which will that make the team rally? I don't know. We'll see. But I do want to talk about a couple of surprise teams. Penn State, 5-5, got the big victory on the 15-8 now. But Nebraska stands out as a team, and they look really good. They look pretty damn good. They're 17-8. They're 8-4 in conference. Got a great start in conference play. Purdue, Michigan State seem to be, and Michigan, I feel like those three will be 1, 2, and 3 somewhere in there. But I gotta say, it's nice seeing Ohio State back in basketball to an extent. When I say back, I'm not saying they have Conley and Odin on the team, but it's nice to see them there because they're a fun squad. That crowd goes nuts. It's important, right? Especially with you know, Minnesota with the no-show, Wisconsin struggling, Maryland just so-so. Still a tough team, but just not the team they've been the last couple of years. But Nebraska, Marshall. Nebraska, they got a good coach. They got a program that's on the up and up to an extent, you know, these last couple of years compared to, you know, I'm comparing where they've been, you know what I mean? Which is not that they haven't been high ever much anyway in a long time. But earlier in the year, they lost a razor tight one, 73-72 to Kansas. Michigan State just smoked them earlier this year. That's when Michigan State was really playing really well. But it's kind of funny because you look their record early and you go, huh, yeah, man, they only have really one quality win, and it really isn't that, you know, they obviously played a different team in Minnesota at that time, but actually, no, that's when it had happened. I can't remember. No, that's when they're full strength. But they're starting to turn the corner a little bit. They beat Michigan. They lost their last game, so they got to keep it going. They're in a lot of tight ball games, no matter who they play, it seems like. They beat Northwestern at Northwestern, which isn't the easiest thing to do. But that Michigan win, they put it all together. They were at home, obviously, and they're really, really good at home. 72-52, tight game against Ohio State. It's just something to keep an eye on overall. But, man, Purdue, speaking of looking the part, we mentioned them last week. I really like their roster. They got the big. They got the Edwards. They got the guard. You know, they got a shooter. They got the ingredients you need to make a deep run.
Yeah, and, you know, I hope they do make a deep run, Chris, because there's been so many likable Purdue teams. I'm not – never really been a Purdue fan, but, man, those Etwan Moore, Robbie Hummel teams, it's like, man, that's a fun team to watch. But one of the guys in that crew would get hurt. I mean, Robbie Hummel played 6 years, and I feel Etwan Moore missed a year. And Purdue's always kind of had that – you know, they got the unique-looking stadium. They've only had a couple of coaches. They got the history. They got, like, the state. It's like – everything in the world is up for them to be like a very good dominant college basketball team, but they're only okay. And this is the first time in a while for them that they've been like, you know, really top of the Big Ten and contending for a conference title. They're normally like that second tier that's pretty good, but always kind of falls apart. Last year they had really, really strong big play and their guard play was pretty good. this obviously, you know, they lost Swanigan to the pros. Imagine if he would have stayed one more year, because he's like kind of riding the bench and struggling. I mean, if he would have stayed this year, oh my Lord, Purdue would be probably the team to look out for. But they got a good squad. Their guard play seems to be better. The few times I've seen them play, they seem to shoot the threes better. They do. I would say they maybe got the toughest environment in the Big Ten. Maybe that's a little bit over the top, but it's worth arguing. I mean, they got everything kind of falling in place for them this year, Chris. And they're not kind of going through a spell where, oh, Purdue's good again, and oh, now we lost 4 out of 5. Like, they're sticking with it. So, I think the only thing that kind of scares me, I think the guy is a little overvalued, is their big Haas. I've seen him play a couple of times, and I think he truly is, so far in his career, one of those guys that is incredibly tall with decent skills. But when, like, you see him trying to dribble or trying to make some, like, tough shots when he's being defended, I don't think he's there yet. So if he can make a couple of more steps to be a little more offensively solid, I think they got a really dangerous team, because they appear to have all the pieces. And if you can get an offensive big to be a little more coordinated, I think that makes him even more scary. Because right now he's at the point where he's going to get blocks and shots and rebounds just because he's that tall and can move pretty well. But I think his offensive game has a lot more to be polished. So if that can mature by the end of the year, I think that makes him even more of a dangerous squad, Chris.
He is stiff. You're right. Actually, just the other game, I saw them put it in the post a couple times, and he did do some interesting stuff. And it doesn't have to be fancy footwork. We're not talking about McHale and the 32 flavors. We're not talking about Akeem Olajuwon. We're just talking about turning and little half a hook over somebody because you're super tall, you know, just to get it done, draw some fouls, yada, yada, yada. It'll be interesting. And by the way, they won the Big Ten last year. So that you know, they are starting to really put it together. They won the Big Ten championship last year. As far as the mid-majors are concerned, Conference USA, keep an eye on it. Western Kentucky. We were talking about Purdue. They beat Purdue. They beat Purdue this year. Middle Tennessee, they're 8-1. Old Dominion, 7-1. Two of them, the top two, Old Dominion and Middle Tennessee, have 16 wins, 15-6. But Western Kentucky went out there and challenged themselves in that non-conference schedule. But 8-1 and 2 tie for 7-1. So keep an eye on that Conference USA. In general, the time is now to talk about, we talked about, you know, we're going to talk about tonight's game. Obviously, we're going to get a feel of North Kakalaka. It tips off here in just a little bit. We've come to the time where we talk about our local teams. Minnesota Gophers still lost. Penn State's a good club. They had a nice little lead. They wore out. They just don't have the bodies. All right, that covers Gopher Weekly. Now, to your club, and I've already gone on I'm not going to bore people with a long rant of depression, you know, because that was week one that I did that, as far as our week one, which was a couple of weeks ago on the College Ball Show. North Kakalaka, it's not a must win to get in the tourney, obviously, but it feels like this would be a quality win for them, and they got to get something back, considering they just lost at home, right? They lost at home. Am I correct there?
Yeah.
They just lost at home.
Yep.
Clemson, 17-4, 19-20. North Carolina, 2-point favorite on the road. What says you about this matchup that's going to tip here in about 13-14 minutes? Gonna steal that from Common.
I was talking to my buddy, and you know, people can take sabermetrics in good ways and bad, but like the advanced stats say we're supposed to be a better team, and I don't think we have a Kentucky or Duke recruiting class, because that's not how it really goes. But I think we're still underperforming a little bit. Now on the defensive end, that's how we are every year. Every year I do this darn podcast, I complain and moan and bitch about the defense, but by the end of the year, it's not better. So that's how Roy works, and you just have to accept it. Now, offensively, every time I watch and I'm Warriors, I'm excited for my basketball season to end, which I've been loving coaching, just so I can watch them play a little bit more. Every time I watch, it's always about Barry and Luke May, and that's it. Those are almost the only names you ever hear mentioned on Carolina. And I know they have Kenny Williams, and unfortunately, Raymond Felton's cousin got kicked off the team today and kicked out of school. I'm not quite sure what happened there. But it's just a two-man show, man. He's been having a great run since his Kentucky buzzer beater, but I'm not sure if he's really a guy that come March Madness can carry you on his back. I mean, his numbers show it so far in regular season, but can Luke May and Joel Berry really carry a team to make a deep run? I don't know. So I think tonight would be a nice momentum win. Like I said, last show, we beat them 59 times in a row at Chapel Hill, and they never won there. So it's almost kind of be like, you know what, screw the Tar Heels if we're Clemson. We need to defend our home court too. If we can't win at their place, they're for sure not going to win at ours. And I would say on paper, it's probably dead even. And on the road, I mean, we haven't done much this year at all. So I hope we get the win. We probably have a slight notch in talent. I remember seeing that their second-best player is off of the year with a knee injury, speaking of Clemson. But this team's got to get some type of win to get a little momentum in their heads and some confidence and kind of just stick fighting for, you know, to be a respectable seed. They ain't winning the conference regular season barring a massive class of many people. But as I mentioned a little bit ago, your tournament chances don't look pretty when your conference record's under 500. And if they lose tonight, they're 5-5. I mean, it's time to, you know, kind of put up or shut up. Like, it's about time to win a darn game because we have Duke in 9 days. And the way they've been playing offensively, it's going to be a track meet, and currently they got a couple more track stars than we do. So, I mean, I always think we have a chance, but we need to get something rolling, Chris, or we're going to be, you know, maybe a potential bubble team. I mean, maybe the name gets us in, but having an under 500 ACC record, you know, someone's got to step up, and maybe someone else can help Barry May tonight and lead them to a win versus Clemson.
Yeah, that's a good metaphor with the track. Basically, one has a sprint, the other one's doing hurdles. You tell me who's going to get there first. Penn State, scrappy, lovable club. Just kidding. They got a game tomorrow where they could make some noise, some big noise against Michigan State. As far as these are kind of the – we talk about marquee matchups. Just talked about, ranked versus ranked. We got to talk about the under-the-radar yet still important potentially upset games because we've seen a whole lot of them. In fact, the Big 12 road upsets have been pretty interesting as well. All over the landscape. I just was talking about the ACC as well. And you've seen that in the Big Ten. So LSU, Tennessee, kind of interesting. LSU's not that bad of a club. Tennessee should get it done, but you never know. Louisville at Virginia tomorrow. That's pretty interesting.
Ooh.
Houston. Yeah, that's pretty interesting. Two squads that play like each other. And you mentioned, you know, just the other week, I think last week, that Louisville can score a little bit more consistently than they had in years past, rather than just defense and getting hot with the guard or whatnot and just be real spurty offensively.
Is it wrong that when I refer to them in my basketball, in my group chat, that I refer to them as, hey, the Strippers had a good game tonight?
No, No, as long as you talk about the Tar Heels, no class, fake classes.
Hey,
you know, fake news, they got fake classes.
That's fine. We got strippers and we got the African American history class where kids averaged a B minus. So now it has a little bit of longer ring to it, but fair is fair. Yeah.
Which, by the way, they could not touch that sacred program. They couldn't even put a little finger on them. Just had to make them look
bad. Can we play some Oregon church music right now to just worship the baby blue?
So Houston, who's improved this year, or I hate to say just improved, they're a club that actually has some wins. Let's put it that way. At who knows how good Cincinnati is, number 8. I really want to find more out about them. Maybe we'll get that. Maybe we'll get that. Maryland has a chance against Purdue, but Purdue is at home. And I'm calling it. Here's my upset of the week. My article's not due for another couple days. But Texas on the road in Texas Tech, the Raiders, the Red Raiders, the Longhorns are going to come in there and knock off number 10. Texas Tech, that is my pick of the week. If you move to Thursday, Creighton and Villanova. Seems like Nova always has a big game at home. Creighton could really make up some ground there and just get back in the rankings in general. Kind of interesting game. And then we get to Saturday, and Texas Tech, TCU, ranked versus unranked. They'll be coming off that upset, so they're going to be frisky on the road. I think they get the job done, but that's an interesting matchup to say the least.
I might have to go to that game.
Go ahead. Yeah?
I might have to go to that game. But, you know, that's just hit me. How in God's name is Texas Tech ranked 10th? They've had some pretty bad luck. They haven't been playing that good of late. I mean, I guess this is the year where your rankings can't change much because no one's really got a great resume. But, I mean, I don't think Carolina's got any business being 15. I don't think Texas Tech for sure has any business being 10th, huh?
I'll tell you why. In the beginning of January, they beat Kansas, right?
Okay,
They did get knocked down by Oklahoma, but then they turned right around and beat number 2 at the time, West Virginia, by a point. But you're right, of late they've won 2 in a row, but they lost back-to-back games. So, yeah, it's kind of a mixed bag. Plus, remember, was it 2? Yeah, our first show, you brought up the stat that made a whole lot of sense. Like, what was it, 14 teams in the top 25 went down that week or something like that? So that's probably
– Yeah. Fair point, counter.
Yeah, but that's not to say your overall point makes sense. Don't get me wrong. Let's find out how good Washington is right now. 15-6 at home. They're facing number 9 Arizona, the home game. Let's see how good they are. Maybe they can pick up a nice little W. And then big Monday, big game. West Virginia, number 15. It'll probably change by then. Number 12, Oklahoma, at Oklahoma. That's 8 Central on Big Monday. So that kind of wraps up. Yeah, kind of some interesting matchups this week. Some of them rank versus rank, like we just mentioned tonight, and then this one I just mentioned as well. But a lot of under-the-radar games this year, and we got to keep an eye on those if you are that avid college basketball fans, because we don't have all these marquee versus marquee matchups this year. Well, we have them, they just aren't marquee this year. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
kind of a couple of interesting games, man.
You know, I think that it's very unfortunate, but obviously teams can always kind of rally around tough team moments, and I think since Texas did lose their best player in regards to points, with the leukemia diagnosis, they've been on a roll. That was that emotional home game where they beat TCU in double overtime. Since I know they took care of Iowa State, they beat another team as well. I think Texas and Shaka, maybe that unfortunate moment kind of brought the team closer together. I mean, you see that so often in sports where something tragic can bring people together. Now it's unfortunate the way it happened. But Texas, I'm with you, Chris. I think they're trending upwards, and they're a pretty darn good defensive team. Because they got quite a few really talented bigs, and Bama and the other guy, I can never pronounce his name. He's the tall white guy with like the crazy long hair. But Texas has a good squad, and I think that with this being Shaka's third year now, you should expect him to maybe put this team together by the end of the year. So I'm with you on that upset pick. And man, West Virginia again, you know, they're on the map. The Big 12, with all these teams getting a lot of hype meter right during the year, it does seem like they have kind of a premier matchup every week. I'll be curious to see how they do. And I think the Oklahoma story, it almost seems like it's fading away a little bit. It's like, you know, is Trae Young going to get any help? Like, we know the dude can score. His numbers he's going to put up have been miraculous. But I mean, is someone going to help him, or is he just going to kind of run out of energy by the end of the year? Like, Oklahoma was a top-ranked team in the country, or darn near close this year, but it seems to me like they're fading away a little bit, and I think it's because the dude's probably tired or has the mindset of, I got to take over win every game, and that really doesn't work for you in college basketball, unless you are like a LeBron James. So it'll be very curious to kind of see how the Big 12 kind of plays out here. And I was hoping for a loss last night, Chris, because if Kansas would have won us, there would have been like a six-way tie for first, and how beautiful that would have been. But, of course, K-State, like usual, gets all hyped up for Kansas and loses. But I think the Big 12 kind of matchups you've broken down for the previews is maybe going to steal the news a little bit, but I'm sure we'll probably have like 10 in the top 20 teams go down this week like we've been having a lot this year.
Yeah, and obviously we've come to a news part of it. The biggest news is the Michigan State basketball/football program under investigation. Obviously, we like to maintain a neutral ground on this because not long ago on our college football show, the first Baylor report came out, and it looked kind of mild. Looked like it was just 2-3 guys. And then we got to the depth of it, and it was like, holy shit. Whereas this one on the surface looks really bad, but we do have to pull it back yet. You know, if you look at some of the facts of the case as far as it pertaining to college football and Michigan State football program, a lot of these, it looks like now, okay, we don't know all the facts 100%. This investigation is going to take a little while. And I say the investigation overall because the NCAA is getting involved. We have an investigation through the school, but as we know, I can personally, you know, vouch in a sense of these investigations because, you know, you can see the Gopher football team. They came out with this big, horrible report, 10 dudes gang raped this girl, and it didn't turn out like that whatsoever. At all, actually. 6 of them were scot-free. And, you know, so I'm not saying that's the case. This could be worse. This could be. Yeah. I really don't know. As far as both coaches have said, I'm not going anywhere, whereas we kept hearing, oh, they're going to resign, they're going to resign. Well, obviously, if you were to resign, that, you know, adds gasoline to where there's already fire. It's beyond smoke 100%. At this point. But, you know, and when you start to look at, you know, the people over the top of them, the presidents and whatnot, and the athletic directors, when they resign, you start to go, yeah, I'm going to wait and see what the hell's going on here. But at some point, we got to make it clear, and they're not going to do that in the headlines, but we got to make it clear what's legal in society and what you signed off on your handbook, your student handbook. And I keep going back to that. The student handbook, you know, if they put the fraternities up against the student handbook, it wouldn't be a pretty sight. It wouldn't be – they'd be all banned. I shouldn't say all of them. That's stupid too because there are some that have no drinking in their facility and all that. So I take that back.
Sure.
That was stupid. But we all know what college life pertains to. And it doesn't have to be a frat either. It could just be a normal party, yada, yada, yada. But, you know, if you look at from the Michigan State side, football-wise, they say, you know, 11 players or whatever, but they all were investigated by the police as well. So if you're a coach and you let the police do their job and they come up with nothing and your player's telling you, I didn't do it, what do you do? What do you do in that moment? Especially to someone that doesn't have, any flags from their past. You know, it's different if that's the case. You know, then it's case by case. And it's a wait and see. For me, it's a wait and see. I'm not going to go out there and just make that hot take. And part of this, in society, I'm not getting political. I'm not trying to get social conscious going. But part of this is a process, Marshall. We've seen it in Hollywood. We've seen it in a lot of different executives across the country in different businesses, sexual harassment, all that stuff, right? This stuff's coming out. Now,
yeah.
Matt Damon had a quote saying, there is a difference in grabbing a girl or patting a girl on her butt and rape, right? Well, yeah, we know that, Matt. We do know that. So calm down. Nobody's saying it's as bad as – well, I shouldn't say that because some people have said it's all in the same bunch, which that's not true either. That's not to say that any female should be walking around anywhere and just get their butt tapped. Obviously, that's not the case. That is a form of harassment. It's not rape, but it's still wrong and should be disciplined clearly. However,
yeah.
We have to really look at this in society. I see a lot of men getting very defensive for that example I use. Like, well, can I not even hug now? Can I not hug a girl now? Wonder if I come up behind a girl and give her a little neck massage. I can't even do that now. That's rape now. I say pump the brakes because you can't. I'll use an example, Marshall. And I use this example because I think you hear this a lot about prenuptial. You hear about the female getting half in the marriage and how some people, some situations, it does look like, wow, how the hell is she getting half? You know, I understand that male point of view. However, when it's thousands of years worth of mistreatment, right, forced marriage, you know, men have treated women very poorly, to say the least, right, in the last couple thousand years. It's not going to always come out and just be smooth for a couple years, you know. Well, it's just, you know, 1,000 years go by. Oh, yeah, you know what, that's kind of like, I'm not saying it's right or it's payback from the past, but you know what, it plays out that way. And you kind of, we need time to get the balance. You know, when we talk about, because I use the divorce thing because that's talked about a lot in our society for some time. They get half. Why'd they get half? They just sat around and didn't do anything. I get that. And sometimes you do see the term gold digging, you know, of course. But let's not act as men like we didn't have some of this stuff coming. So I can sit there and hack a school administration coming out and just handbooking every one of these guys, the student handbook, which is, they signed it, so it's there. But I think that has to be prevalent in the story and in the headline and in the overall feeling to this stuff. It has to be part of the theme. It can't be just, well, dude, these 11 allegations have to be true then. Well, hold on, dude. Let's calm down, too. So I think we're going to see a lot more of this. You know, it's just a matter of time, and it's about time. You know, the especially how we handle rape in our courts and how we handle rape on campuses. And actually, I didn't vote Republican or Democrat the last 3 out of 4 elections. I just want to throw that out there. But Obama did put in something when it came to universities and how a person could come forward to kind of help them come forward and have some privacy. And that has changed now. That's officially changed back to how it used to be. So that's going to play a part too. And some of it is knee-jerk, men knee-jerk thing going, what the hell? We don't even have you know, it's not right to say someone's guilty without their day in court. And some of these, a lot of these allegations went through the police investigation. So, what are your thoughts on this? And obviously, this is something that has to change in society all over the world. And this is part of the process.
You know, it's tough. I think maybe the legal system, there's different factors. I mean, in a perfect world, you would have just men in general that respect women more and these issues would decline. But obviously that's not going away, unfortunately. And then you'd also, in a perfect world, have women that don't make up stories as much either. And then the issue would go declined as well. I think, as you mentioned, there's so many stereotypes that go both ways. There's some stuff that's just so hard to solve. I mean, Ezekiel Elliott, basically got toyed with and was never allowed to play football for the end of the season, which affected his team. And there was public record saying that his girlfriend was like, ex-girlfriend was like making stuff up and lying. But the NFL is like, we're going to send some people to talk to her. Oh, she seems kind of like she's telling the truth. You're suspended. What? That makes sense? And Ezekiel Elliott kind of got toyed. So I think there's so much to fix, Chris, and unfortunately these incidents keep popping up. My only point I'll make is I hate that there are some just scumbag coaches that slide stuff under the rug, and they're honestly people that drive me nuts. Yeah, and the Art Briles thing, that guy, he's very highly respected and talked about here since I lived in Texas, being a guy that is like an offensive genius of like high school football and transformed the sport away. And sure, that might be the case. But it's like when you say that, you should also say, and by the way, the guy's just a complete piece of garbage. I mean, he swept like rape allegations under the rug for like 10 or 12 years or so. Okay, maybe the guy's a mastermind football person, but he's also a god awful person. And even the pen, you know, there's always this one guy up top, and I hope this doesn't come to be the case for Tom Izzo, because for all we know, he is one of the best basketball coaches of all time. But hypothetically, if he was the proven of the guy that swept stuff under the rug, it's like, well, then you can't no longer say that Izzo's such a great coach without saying, by the way, I'm just saying, Matt, what if I'm not giving an opinion? But my biggest point of all this college stuff is there's always that one college head coach that could have put stuff down and ended it, because they truly do hold all the cards in power or a strong portion of it, but they don't, because all they truly care about in their minds is winning and getting by with, and making money. Because if they did have more values, they would not let these issues continue to occur. I wish guys would not hit women, and I wish women would not make lies to cops, but sadly that stuff isn't going away. You get that happening now to society. But what could change is just money-hungry coaches that just have such a dedication to their program and their ego and their university name that they just let stuff go. That's the stuff that could honestly go away on the snap of fingers, but unfortunately, it's probably not. So I guess that's my take on it, and we'll find out. I mean, I guess they're giving Michigan State 2 weeks to kind of get their ducks in a row and get stuff in line and present some information and kind of go from there. But it just tarnishes the sport so much. But at least now with social media being prevalent as it is, this stuff does get leaked out. So whether or not, these guys in Hollywood seem to think that women can just bow down to them and, if I'm making money, I think it is good with Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and viral news that these men who do disrespect women should get called out and they should lose their jobs if it's proven. So, we got some stuff going the right way, some stuff going the wrong way. So it's tough, brother. And I'm sure in a couple of years, we're going to have another team that's under investigation. And I know it's not as severe, but now Kevin Ollie for UConn is looking at maybe getting fired because he's got recruiting problems coming up that are maybe been swept under the rug since he's won his championship there. So, It's just going to be a never-ending paper trail of coaches. A lot of them are doing maybe not the best stuff, and they're starting to become more relevant in the news now.
Yeah, it's one thing to take some to have a handshake $100 bill at a charity thing and whatever. That shit happens. It's another thing to do this type of stuff,
I didn't mean to make that. Yeah,
I'm just adding to your point. It didn't sound like that at all. I'm just adding to your point, where it's like, we understand there's going to be some crooked stuff. You can't make billions of dollars, pay these coaches millions of dollars, and then just not anything going to happen there. We understand it's going to be crooked. Capitalism in our country is crooked. It's built on crooked. So, look at our two-party system that's ran by money. It's crooked. Sorry, it just is. That's a fact.
Yeah.
We could sit there and argue till we're blue in the face on four different topics. They love it. They love it because they're like, yeah, keep arguing. We'll get elected. We're just going to keep this money thing going. So, but off of that stuff, like you said, it's about time. You could talk about equal pay as well. I mean, this shit is not going to go away. And it is funny, though, because we talk about Hollywood elite, but look at how quick that shit turns. Look at how quick they get fired, though. You know, they got to give up their company.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it is kind of funny how corporate America, they get to, like, go out and kind of, like, you know, they either get to resign from their board or whatever. And in Hollywood, though, this elitist stuff, look at it, you're getting fired, dog. Like, you're done.
I know.
Bye. You know what I mean? And you're getting blackballed for good reason instead of blackballed for the other reason. So we got to look at that as well. On to the NBA. We are at we talk NBA once in a while because we do have the NBA playoffs, NBA finals. We take it all the way from April to early July. The draft, free agency. Can't wait for that free agency. We'll probably have to do two different ones. We'll probably have to have the initial one with the big moves, and then maybe like a couple weeks later, another one, maybe late July, because it is going to be interesting. And speaking of interesting, the LA Clippers made a little bit of a trade. Now, we heard not long ago that they were trying to move Blake Griffin for Towns. And I was very happy that didn't happen because obviously, you know, that's not a good look for us. I can complain about Towns at times defensively, but, I mean, I can complain all the time with Blake Griffin. We've already seen that, not to mention – and he's come along. You know, we've been hard on him, but he has come along. He averages a lot of assists. He's having a great season. But the knee – he's a below-the-rim player now, which I think I give him credit for, you know, doing some of that. He's finally hitting outside shots, but we're in year, what, nine? I don't know, what, 8 years? I don't know what it is, but we're deep into this thing. So I'm glad they didn't make that trade. But, you know, the Clippers are in rebuilding mode, and it's smart. I think it's smart. They got to do it. Some of these players that they brought in, they can keep. Some of them they can dump. Some of them they'll probably move. It probably helps Detroit. I don't know how much. A lot of the talk, and I kind of agree with this, Marshall, is, well, Detroit's having problems bringing in consistent. You know, they brought Drummond in, but, you know, the free agency-wise, they weren't going to get a Blake Griffin. So let's do it this way. You got to give to get. They're about to open a new arena. Got to sell some tickets. It makes sense on both sides of it, and I really think it frees up a good chunk for the Clippers in the years to come. And, you know, obviously if they tweak some stuff, Paul George, LeBron, you know, that sounds like they're going to – who knows what the hell happens. I still think LeBron's coming to Minnesota. Straight up trade, you know, for Jeff Teague. But that's just me. That's just me in La La Land. But I honestly think, could you imagine LeBron and Jimmy Butler? Oh my goodness. Oh my good luck getting buckets. And then we'd actually have a team that could possibly go seven games, six games. With that, the cream of the crop of the NBA, obviously, the Golden State Warriors. Fun game, though, wasn't it? Warriors and Cleveland, Warriors and Boston. Really fun game. Houston looks like they're getting their stuff together. They've had these injuries and weirdness, but when they get it together, they kind of remind me, and I'm all over the place right here, obviously, but Houston kind of reminds me of, we can score a ton like Golden State did early. Now, they're not built the same, but the idea of we'll score the shit out of the ball, but now they've added defense over the last couple of years, similar to, and that's where my example is, similar to Golden State where they just kept adding some pieces, and most of them defensive pieces. If you look at their starting lineup, obviously Chris Paul can still do his thing. He had one of the best games against Golden State he's ever had. It's fun now. It's fun. Let's go to the trade. Let's talk about the Timberwolves acquiring LeBron. No, just kidding. We're not going to talk about that. But what do you think about this trade? Blake on the move to Chile. Detroit basketball.
I'm happy he's leaving because that means DeAndre is going to go. And soon I can just quit hearing about the damn Clippers. Because there's no way. I don't think.
Are you sure he's going to go? Doesn't he have a bunch of money, though, that he can – it's his option? He's got a ton of money.
I don't know. I wouldn't know if I followed the team more closely. But I was just happy to see him go. I do think Detroit, I think that's a move they needed to make. I think that Van Gundy is a hell of a coach and that he's done a pretty good job there. But he's been needing a little more pieces because every year he seems to lose his, like, star guard with, like, a knee injury. Or something happens to, like, another next. Because I believe that guy's pretty darn elite of a coach, but he hasn't gotten results yet. So maybe by adding this player, that'll be a piece to his team that can make them maybe a potential top 5-6 team in the East. Jason Kidd got fired, which, was obviously another kind of a blindsided move. Giannis Antetokounmpo was like, oh, wait, can I try to play like the middleman and save stuff? So clearly that was a decision made by the front office. My buddy saw a joke on Twitter that Kidd had been trying to like go on a date with one of the owner's daughters. So maybe that didn't
end. Mark Jackson playing golf. Is it like Mark? Like, nah, dude. All right, we're done with you. You're not gonna play golf with me, dude, and schmooze. Go have fun.
We'll see. But, you know, and this parlays in very nicely because the Clippers are currently the 9 seed. And their playoff number, they probably have maybe come to a point now where maybe let the playoffs go this year and slide. Who knows? But the way Lou Williams is playing, oh, my Lord. Talk about sixth man of the year on steroids. The dude has come off the bench. And I believe I saw the stat 3 to 4 days ago, so it could have expired now if he would have played as of late. But he scored 20-plus points, 10 games in a row off the bench, which is like tied an NBA record, haven't done in 20 or 30 years. Just Lou Williams has just been phenomenal this year. So will he be able to carry the Clippers in the playoffs? Because my favorite player in basketball tore his Achilles. Last show, I had to rag about my man Boogie Cousins, who was having one of the best years of his career. I believe it was the first time he's ever been an all-star starter. Not an all-star, but an all-star starter. Him and Anthony Davis have been gelling. The team won 5 in a row.
It would have been the first year he ever made the playoffs.
I get home, and I turn on to see New Orleans playing Houston. New Orleans is winning. That crowd's going nuts. It'd be a great win for them because they're such a contradictory style of play of Houston's one and gun, Jack threes. New Orleans is like, you can guard our bigs and we'll play you that way. And he jumps out of bounds to try to save a loose ball, and he comes down wrong and tears his Achilles. Yeah, I didn't want to talk about it, but man, it's so depressing for your favorite guy having such a great year. New Orleans is going to be a playoff team. I'm not saying they were up to the Golden State level, but the way they've been playing against our teams, they maybe could have won a first-round playoff series unless they would have been the 8th team. Like, this team was fun, and Etuan Moore has been getting better. I mean, there are so many – and granted, I'm kind of a homer because I love the team a lot, but they were gelling in the right direction, and Boogie Cousins have been in the playoffs for the first time and all that stuff, and then bam. Now, with Clippers kind of bailing out and the Jazz sucking this year, it's still going to make the playoffs, but – you know, Anthony Davis and Jrue Holiday and Rondo ain't exactly the same compared to Boogie and Anthony Davis. So that was kind of a bummer and sad news for that. You know, but injuries happen. You know, I remember I remember when you and I did our NBA playoff show a couple of years ago, a lot of people said Golden State got a free pass to the finals because of injuries. And, you know, you can say they got lucky. It's like, you know, Stephen Curry busted up his ankles for a couple of years when he first started there, and people really wondered, was he going to be a legit player? So I hate injuries, but they're part of sports. And I'm not trying to sound cocky as for in that situation to help my team, but it hurts. And they, you know, you just go back and forth. And this year, everyone thought the Eagles were dead because Nick Foles was the quarterback and everyone started.
You bastard!
Bringing
that up. Don't bring that up. I'm glad you said that. That's different in football, too. In basketball, you got five guys on a court. You go, what, eight, nine deep top? And when I say 11 guys, you're really talking about 16 guys probably with roles. So, it makes a big difference. You're right. And obviously, speaking of more injury news, John Wall has got to get some sort of minor knee surgery that could keep him out to 8 weeks. So that's, you know, that's not a good look either. I want to say Oklahoma City is starting to turn it up. They are starting to look like, first of all, they're one of the best defensive teams in the country. Like we're talking about.
But injuries just killed them too.
Yeah, but you know what? They really are starting to turn it up. And now that Melo has taken that, you know, that different role all the way now, Paul George and Westbrook are really starting to put it together. And they can defend. They're gritty. And they're getting it done, man. They are on the move. I thought they'd be in the top four for sure. I was picking like fifth or sixth for my Timberwolves. Maybe I want sixth. I either want third or sixth now, because although it's kind of strange because we have a 3-1 series, you know, advantage on them this year, the Timberwolves do. So for, you know, we can measure up with them because the non-defensive garbage number one pick Wiggins actually can hang a little bit with Paul George. Last game he actually contained the shit out of him. But they're coming. They're coming. They're looking a lot better, man. And you got San Antonio who's always there, but man, they, you know, when is their star player going to come back, and will he ever be 100% healthy this year? Well, it's just kind of weird, you know, for the Spurs, they're holding pace. Right, they've managed to like hold on to that third spot. It really helped that Butler missed four straight games, and the Wolves went 2-2 in that stretch. But I don't know, man. I wouldn't be shocked to see them get to the third spot, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's definitely possible. The Spurs have just not been that great of a team this year. I mean, to their standards, they've lost a lot of games they normally lose, but I mean, in fairness to them, they've never really been at full roster this year. I think Kawhi went on a stretch where he played like 3 or 4 games at like minute restrictions. But I mean, without him,
I think
they're
overachieving considering he hasn't played.
I mean, LaMarcus Aldridge can't carry a team entirely on his back like Kawhi. I mean, he's even had a pretty damn good year, but Popovich is just playing at a ton of young people that really don't have a name to themselves in the NBA. I mean, in a couple of games, Ginobili goes off, but they're just kind of trying to get by with a bunch of really crafty veterans and a couple of young kids that really don't – probably shouldn't be playing as much as they are, but you got to make sacrifices when injuries occur. So they're definitely an interesting story. But if Kawhi is healthy come playoff time and LaMarcus Aldridge is healthy and you got Patty Mills and all the regular crew, like, I still don't want to play him. You know, if not for Zaza Pachulia stepping on a wet spot on the floor and sliding his foot out and Kawhi going down, we ain't winning game one. You know, that we're down 1-0 that series, and 1-0 against Popovich ain't pretty. So, I mean, you never want to entirely count them out. But, again, you got to give your boy a chance to be entirely healthy. But maybe this is a year where, you know, it's quadricep and shoulder and, you know, sometimes you have those, speaking of injuries, you have those years where your body just can't get healed up. And who knows when Kawhi is expected back. I mean, we're past the half-point line. We're pretty, you know, we're getting near the 50 to 55-game mark. So if you are the Spurs, you're obviously going to make the playoffs, but you want to try and get some chemistry and joint at some point going on, but, you know, who knows? And for the East, Chris, I'll just say this, kind of wrap up my NBA hot takes, is this is, I mean, Cleveland really either needs to figure out something defensively or get a new head coach. Or, I mean, there's been a lot of drama going on. And I know that normally there is the almighty LeBron will take us there moment. And that guy is, I mean, in my opinion, close to becoming the best player of all time, but that's a whole debate for our show. But he LeBron's going to do all he can. But this team's defense is, like, really, really bad. They gave up 142 points from the
city, dude,
in a regulation game.
Yeah, regulation game.
Now,
it didn't go triple overtime.
I know you mentioned that OKC's been coming out late, and they got some guys that can score. But you can't give up 142 points in a game.
No.
I think it was 148. Because they scored 124. You can't score 124 points in a game and get beat by 24 in regulation and just say, oh, we're going to turn that switch on. And
right.
Part of it's the Isaiah Thomas guy. The dude can score, but he's a defensive liability. And you've been known to have your defensive liabilities. And you got rid of Kyrie, who I'm not a fan of the guy, but dude, the dude scores. And when he needs to, he can become
a
good defender.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
When he was dialed in, he could do something.
Yeah. And it's not that IT doesn't try, but he's at such a height disadvantage. When you put in certain two guards, all I got to do is shoot over him. So if LeBron makes it this year, I mean, I don't know. Kevin Love's been getting blamed for stuff. They've been having closed-door meetings. Ty Lue's blaming people. People think, should he go? I mean, this would be the year for someone to step up and finally – win the damn East, but Boston, they sure seem to lose to a bunch of crappy teams when they don't need to. So, who knows? The East might be a little more intriguing. You know, a little more.
No, it is, because Philly's fun to watch. No, it's actually, for all that, the West is just going to dominate and look at the free agent. That hasn't turned out on the court this year. It really hasn't.
Yeah.
In fact, the Timberwolves against the East is worse than the West. Timberwolves have the most wins in the West still. It's different. It's different. Hmm. I'm not saying if I look at the top five teams on both sides, when push comes to shove, it's still the West. I'm not saying that. But if you looked at the free agency and only one dude of note went West or East and he's not playing now because of the injury, you know, that's definitely hasn't played out like that. And I'll say this about Cleveland. We have to preference certain things, right? Obviously, the trade sucked for them. It was going to suck for them. Some people side on, well, you should have kept them. I think you can explore that. However, turns out, you know, Kyrie wasn't even talking to people in the locker room during the playoffs last year. So it's real easy to go, you should have just kept him, dude. You should have kept him. Well, hold on. I don't believe that report that he was going to go under the knee if he didn't get traded. Maybe, you know, go under the scope to switch his knee. I agree with that. I remember a couple of different podcasts saying no guy's going to put a scope on his knee for for not good enough reason. You know, you don't want to cut, but to say he could have threatened that, though. I do believe he could have threatened that. But they had to trade him, unfortunately. They did, though. I believe they did. And you were never going to get – they got about as good as they could get, and you knew it was going to suck, right? So, first of all, Isaiah's still coming back, right, just in general. He didn't play forever, so – they started out wishy-washy this beginning, right? Then they went on that long winning streak, and it seemed like they really got together. They're improving their defense. They're just flowing. They were flowing. Then they bring in a new piece because they had their injury problems as well. Then they bring in a new piece, and since then, it's back to wishy-washy. So we do have to – it is tough to start a year with no Curry and not the guy you had. So they started out shitty, glued it together. You got to give them credit. They won 17 out of 18.
Yeah.
Or whatever it was.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So they did tighten up, but then they had to put in another guy, which doesn't always match up, and the ball in the hand and all that type of stuff. So it's still early, but, yeah, you're right. And the whole Love thing, I'll tell you what, man. He's back to his no boxing out, not even looking at a three. I saw some highlights the other night and watched a couple games, and he's back to his non-defensive ways too. He does get a blunt of it. Some of it he deserves, some of it he doesn't. And some of it is reports, so we don't know exactly. I wouldn't go and can the coach. I wouldn't do that. Now, had they had their full team this whole time and they're just not working – okay, now we can make a trade or maybe get rid of sure. But there has been you gotta admit there has been some things that they've had to get over. They didn't plan on having Rose in the starting lineup. You know, he was going to be instant offense off the bench. He had to play. Then he got hurt. Then you know, so there was a lot of stuff they haven't been able to put on paper what they really thought they had acquired. And remember, it was basically a forced situation. They had to make a trade, and it was going to blow it up anyway. So, but you're right, man. They got to get it figured out. And they luckily, they do have LeBron, who finds a way usually to get this figured out. And he is a leader.
Yes.
And sometimes he's a leader that when he makes a mistake, owns up to it. Says I probably, you know, remember last year with he was looking up and down on Thompson, who deserved that, but maybe he shouldn't have done it on that court in that moment. He'll say that after the game. But I just, you know, they put Thompson back in the starting lineup. You got to tweak some stuff, obviously. We know Thompson, since he got the money in the Kardashian, he's been in, you know, fur coats, taking pitches before the game, whereas he used to, you know, you used to think a hard hat, lumberjack type of guy. And now he's not that right now, you know. And talk about a guy who could finish at the rim when you give it to him. It was a wrap. He was not tentative at all, big rebounder, big, you know, just a tough dude in there. And he needs to get back to that as well. And Love has to get back to some of the things we saw in that 17-game winning streak. And also last year when he started really peaking as well. So it's a combination of everything. And, you know, also it's crazy to say, but this is probably one of the worst months that LeBron's had. Well, it's the worst turnover month he's ever had. So he's got to put a little of that blame too, although it's hard because he's having one of his best seasons. But as far as the turnovers, you know, I need to cut down on that. Let's you got any last words? Let's wrap this puppy up.
No, I'm just good. I hope that the injuries stop, though. I mean, the NBA, that's got something special going on. So hope the injuries stop. And for college basketball, I'm going to keep track of how many teams lose at a rank from right now, tonight, until we do our show again, and kind of keep track of that. That's kind of a cool theme this year of, I mean, we know upsets happen in college basketball. You're normally never going to have a week where all the top 25 teams all go 2-0. That'd be nuts. But the upset meter does appear to be more often this year. So I'm going to keep track about that and just see how the dice roll, Chris.
Good call.
All right, well, we will be back next week. We will have plenty more college basketball to break down. Hopefully the Big 12 turns into a mess. Someone can beat Kansas. We could have a legit five-way tie for first. If freaking Kansas State had done last night, we would have been going into today's show saying, hey, five-way tie, you never know. But it's still early. And Carolina Duke is right around the corner. Hopefully my boys get some stuff together. Until then, the boys, we can join here soon. If I got to flex to a Monday, so be it. My basketball season ends very soon here as well. So I'll also have a high school, and we'll touch all three. High school basketball from Texas report next week. College basketball finished with NBA. Until then, have a great weekend. Hope everyone stays safe. Have a good night. We're out.